Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Philippians chapter number 3, verse 13, it says this. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love this right here. It is Paul. Paul the Apostle is saying, brothers and sisters, listen, I'm not perfect. I don't have my life all together. I don't have all the answers. I can't quote all the scriptures, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I'm straining, I'm letting that go, and I'm straining toward what is ahead. I think there's a reason why when you get in your car, there's a big old windshield and a small little rearview mirror, because I don't care about your past. Whether it was the best or the worst, I think we got to have faith to move forward into our future. We gotta have eyes to see. Anybody here today, by show of hands, you have a past. Some of y'all should lift two hands. Come on, be honest. Don't you lie in church. Like, I'm a pastor, I got a path, okay? Forgetting what is behind, forgetting what I did, forgetting what happened, whether you were abused or betrayed, belittled, or whether you broke your own heart, forgetting what is behind me, I'm letting that go to move forward into the call of God that's on my life. Into the thing that, listen, I want to tell you today, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares Oprah, no. Declares Dr. Phil, no. Declares the Lord. What kind of plans does God have for you? Plans to prosper you. Give you a hope and a what? And a future. I'm telling you today, God this morning is standing in your future. He is wooing you. He is beckoning you. He is calling you into the thing that he has already taken hold of for you. You ought to get some faith today. Just sitting here today knowing God's got something for my life. God's got something for my business. God's got something for my children. God's got something for VU Church. God's got something for VU Conference. Come on, give him some praise today. If you just already know, I can rest assured God's got a plan for my life. Hear me today. There is no plan B for your life. There is nothing you have done, smoked, or touched that God is like, well, you're done, messed up now, Aaron. Angels, plan B, let's go. Now, the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God is irrevocable. You can get your license taken away. You can get your visa taken away. You cannot get God's calling taken away from your life. Forgetting what is behind, forgetting my past, forgetting what I did, forgetting my stupidity, forgetting my rebellion, forgetting my insubordination, forgetting, one of my favorite lines in the book is, stop holding on to your history at the expense of your destiny. Oh, you gotta let it go. Oh, I felt like Frozen right there. If I could sing, I would right there. You gotta let it go. You gotta move forward into the call of God that's on your home, in your business, in your life. Forgetting those things which are behind. Brothers and sisters, I don't have it all figured out, but I tell you one thing I'm doing this season. I'm forgetting my past. I'm moving into my future. You got faith for it today? Come on, just clap your hands and let's thank God. Come on, we're straining together. We're running together. We're moving past our past. I want to preach a message today. You can write down the title. It's called, When Life Doesn't Work Out. When Life Doesn't Work Out. And I want to pray and believe together that God will come and speak. Let's bow our heads And let's believe together. Jesus, we thank you that you are so loving and you are so kind. You are so good and you are so gracious. Together, we remind our soul and our situation that you are in control. You are awesome. You are mighty. Lord, open up our eyes today so we can see you. Open up our ears so we can hear you. Do something unique in this setting. And God, we're thanking you in advance that LeBron is coming back to Miami in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, come on, get some faith for it. Come on, let's clap our hands, Miami. God can do miracles. Like, nobody believed that prayer. Nobody. Nobody. It's the worst when something that is supposed to work doesn't work. You know what I'm talking about? Something that is supposed to work, but for whatever reason, this thing just does not work. This ever happened to you with like your Apple TV remote? It's like this thing is supposed to work, but it is. Or you ever have on your phone? You ever have Wi-Fi signal on your phone, but you cannot connect to the Wi-Fi signal? Am I preaching to anybody's pain today? It's just the worst when something that is supposed to work doesn't work. I have an interesting relationship with elevators. I have a very interesting relationship with elevators because years ago I was a youth pastor and I took all my youth on a mission trip to Mexico. So we were in Mexico on a mission trip. All my youth, we were together. We were on a mission trip in Mexico. Emphasis on Mexico, emphasis on mission trip. We got in the elevator. You ever been in an elevator and it got stuck? I was on a mission trip in Mexico one time in an elevator and the elevator got stuck. It was Africa hot. I looked at all my young people in the elevator. I was like, hey, I'm gonna have a panic attack right now. I just crumpled in front of them right there. Just like, I'm gonna have a panic attack. Just like, because I was in Mexico on a mission trip in an elevator. It's the worst when something that is supposed to work doesn't work. Want to talk today. What do you do when life does not work out? When your plans do not prevail? I have found in life that usually when life doesn't work out, God is working out. When life doesn't go my way, God is up to something in my world. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, many plans does a man have in his own heart, but the Lord directs his steps. God's plans will prevail. Anybody have faith today? God's working something out in your life. Even what the enemy intended for harm, God will work it out for the good. I want to give you four things to write down today to encourage you in your faith. Write down number one. Here's what we have to do. We have to learn how to move past disappointments and delays and destructive thinking. We have to learn how to move past we've all been disappointed. You ever been disappointed in somebody? You ever been disappointed with your boss? Disappointed with an outcome, disappointed in a relationship, disappointed with yourself. Many of you know our story of my six-year-old Georgia. I will never forget when the doctor gave us the diagnosis and said all the nevers. And I remember sitting there, I was disappointed for my daughter. I was disappointed for my wife. I was disappointed for myself. I was heartbroken. You ever been disappointed where you cry? Disappointments. And the next step is delays. A lot of time when we feel disappointed in life, we feel delayed, we feel stuck, we feel frustrated. I should be here by now. We should be doing this by now. Our career, our bank account should be in a better place. I'm disappointed, and I knew in that moment when the doctor slid that piece of paper across the desk, we were supposed to move to LA in that season. I knew in that moment, I'm heartbroken, disappointed, but this is gonna cost me 2 years. This is going to set my family back. This is going to cost me time. I want to preach to somebody that you've lost 2 years of your life. You realize God has a fast forward button. And when you lost 2 years, God will fast forward that thing. And what the enemy tried to rob from you, anybody believe God can redeem in you? Give them some praise today. If you believe in promotion cometh not from the east nor the west. Come on, promotion cometh from the Lord. I'm disappointed. And I'm delayed. And usually when we feel disappointed and we feel delayed, the third place we end up is we get destructive thinking. You ever have your thinking go bad? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Am I the only one? You ever have your thinking go bad? I remember in 2005, I had to read a book. I bought a book called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. Because my self-talk had gotten so bad. My self-view had gotten so low. Destructive thinking, where your mind goes in the gutter. Your thought life is all bad. I love Joyce Meyer. Years ago, Joyce Meyer wrote a book called The Mind is a Battlefield. I'll tell you, what God is fighting for is the same thing the devil's fighting for, and they're both fighting for your mind. And whoever wins that battle will win your life. You are what you think you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You will never surpass your thinking. Your thought life is the trajectory of your life. The distance between heaven and hell is not some chasm. The distance between heaven and hell is about this far. It's between your ears. That's why God said, the first thing you do when you put on the armor of God, what is the first thing you put on? You put on the helmet of what? Salvation. God's thoughts over my mind. God's truths. God's promises. God's principles. God's precepts. Who I am in Christ. God knew your mind battle would be so strong. Listen, God knew it. So what does the Bible say? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what did he give you? A spirit of power and love and sound mind. The Greek word for sound mind, it literally means disciplined thinking. God knew how much you'd struggle in your mind. He gave you the spirit ability to capture your thoughts and make them obedient to God. I'm not going to think in that fantasy. I'm not going to entertain idolatry. I'm not going to think in that wickedness. Whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, I'm going to meditate on these things. I'm serving God with my heart and my soul and my mind. You ought to just praise God right now. Give him your thought life today. I'm moving past my disappointment. Remember Job? Pastor Rich did such a brilliant job preaching on Job on Friday night. I almost said Friday night. It's not free. It costs $75 registered a day. Well, Job had the hashtag worst day ever. He loses health and wealth and children and everything. And his wife's mind goes crazy. Watch here, Job chapter 2. Watch what the Bible says his wife responds. Job 2, put it on the screen if we have it somewhere. I don't know where it's going to come up, but Job chapter 2. I'll read it from my holy iPad then. Fine. Do we have it up? There it is. Come on. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Let me just talk to all the men. We're celebrating you next Father's Day. Don't ever say that to your wife. That's old school NKJV stuff, okay? We don't talk like that. Get you a message translation. But don't talk like that. Simmer. Simmer. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity from God? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In all this, Job did. He said, I'm not going to think that way. I'm disappointed. I know I'm delayed, but I'm not letting my mind go there. I'm still going to praise the Lord. I'm still going to show up on Sunday. I'm still going to give my tithe. I'm still going to honor the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, give him some praise today. I'm not standing in some duplistic thinking. I'm moving past my disappointment. I'm moving past my delay. I'm moving past this mindset. God is good. God is for me. God is with me. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When the enemy come in like a flood, he'll raise a standard against him. The only reason why you and I can do this is because of Jesus. And the only reason why we can do this is because Jesus sees beyond our failure. Write that down, number two. Jesus sees beyond our failure. He doesn't see you as you are. God is the only God that does not see you where you are. He sees where you're going. He doesn't see you as you are. He sees you as you're supposed to be. This is Jesus all day long. Jesus would walk and he would encounter people and he never saw where they were. He saw beyond their brokenness. He saw beyond their sin. He saw beyond their failure. He saw their God-given potential. He saw the call of God on their life. He walks down the street. He looks up in a tree. He sees a little Keebler elf, Zacchaeus. Like, boy, you better get down from here. He didn't see, everybody else saw thug. Everybody else saw thief. Everybody else saw jerk. Jesus saw church builder. Jesus saw leader in the church. Jesus saw someone to be used by God. Jesus sits with the woman at the well. Everybody else sees a woman that can't keep a man down, goes from guy to guy. Jesus didn't see her as she was. He saw a girl that would go back to her town, flip the thing upside down with the gospel message. He never sees us where we are. He sees you where you're going. Some of your family sees garbage, our God sees gold. He sees beyond our failure. He sees beyond our issues. Anybody here, you got some issues in your world? You know I got issues. You can't get these jeans tighter than this right here. You know I got issues. I'm a white guy that wants to be black. Everybody's like, oh my God, where did you get your accent? I love your accent. Where'd you get that? Where are you from? And I'm like, shoot, I always wanted to be a preacher and I always wanted to be black. So you can blame Jensen Franklin and Snoop Dogg. Holler at your boy. If you got issues, you got things going on in your life, welcome to the club. We are broken people. We are messed. God, if you got issues, you're a candidate to be used by God. God will use you beyond your wildest dreams. Let me show you in the Bible a list of people that God used in the scriptures that had all kinds of problems and God still used mightily. Put up that list of people that God used in the scriptures. Can we put up that list? Is that a possibility? Do we have it? Hey. There we go. Come on. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. May that never happen in this church in Jesus' name. I'm an elder. I can say that. I know Richie loved to take his shirt off. Stop there, son. Anyways. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs and Peter denied Christ. Oh, come on, anybody thankful today? You can have some issues. You can have some failure and God can still use your life. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for available people. Come on, somebody praise him today and just say, God, move me past my past. He sees beyond your failure. In fact, what I love about God is God always asks you, bring me your worst. I'll give you my best. Bring to me the worst, grossest, most embarrassing thing about you. Bring me your worst and I'll exchange it for my best. Isaiah the prophet, when he prophesies of Jesus, he says, you know what he'll do when he'll come? He'll come to comfort those who mourn. And look at this scripture as it comes on the screen and watch what he'll do in Isaiah. Can you put up that verse? He'll comfort those who mourn and, okay, I'll go to my iPad again. That's all right. And to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Bring me your despair. I want to trade it for a garment of praise. Bring me your mourning, the mourning of divorce and fallout and betrayal and abuse. Bring me your mourning. I want to give you the oil of joy. Bring me your ashes. What is ashes symbolic of? Disappointment, sin, brokenness. Some of us, our lives are filled with ashes. God says, bring me your ashes. I'll give you a crown of beauty on your life. I'll crown you with goodness. I'll crown you with tender mercies. Give me your worst, I'll give you my best. I wonder what it is this Sunday you're still thinking about and mulling over and rehearsing, and God's up in heaven going, for real? You still thinking about that? You're still thinking about that thing that I have long forgotten about? I forgot about that so long ago. This is the new covenant. God said, I have made a new covenant with my people. I will write my law on their hearts, and their evil deeds I will remember no more. I'm telling you today, God sees beyond your failure. He sees your calling. He sees your future. He sees your potential. He's not looking at your mistake. You might have made a mistake, but you are not a mistake. Come on, let's just thank Jesus today. He sees us as not as we are, as we're supposed to be. It's the reality of Jesus Christ. This is the reality of the cross. In fact, when God looks at you, he can't even see you today. The Bible says you've been hidden in Christ. So when he looks at you, all he sees is his son. He sees the righteousness of God. He's pleased with you today. He's satisfied with you today. He's not mad at you today. He's smiling at you today. And because of these truths, write down number three. It's always too early to quit, but it's never too late to start. Because of Jesus, it is always too early to quit. It's never too late to start, but it's too early to quit. Don't you quit. Please, I'm begging you today. Let me just, as a friend, talk to you. Don't quit. Please do not quit. Don't quit on your call. Don't quit on your friends. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on your future. Don't quit on this church. Don't quit on your crew. Don't you quit serving. Don't you quit giving. Don't you quit showing up. Come on, if you don't quit, you'll win. Come on, the winners in life are just those that don't quit in life. Just tell the Lord for a second. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm down to just keep going. Too early. Your miracle's about to show up. Your breakthrough's about to happen. So many of us have missed out on some of the biggest God moments of our life because just when it was about to get good, just when the season was about to turn, we threw in the towel. Don't you quit. God's going to show up. Don't you quit. God will do something that'll blow away your expectation. Just keep giving. Keep loving. Keep showing up. And I'm telling you, it's too early. The Bible says, you have need of endurance. We don't need more goosebumps. We need more perseverance. Life value, write it down. Break through your quitting points. You're gonna face so many quitting points. You're gonna feel like quitting on so-and-so and quitting on this relationship and quitting on yourself. Don't quit. It's too early. I remember years ago, my wife came to me, and she said, babe, I want to run the New York City Marathon. And I was like, you mean you, not we, right? She's like, yeah, I want to run. I was like, bet, let's go. So we flew over to New York, and we got her all registered, and my wife ran to 26 miles, all five boroughs. Make some noise for Julia. Run the New York City Marathon. New York! You know, the whole thing. I will never forget the day that my wife, it's Sunday morning, November. I'll never forget the day that my wife ran the New York City Marathon. It was the best. We made a plan that all throughout the run, every, you know, so often miles, I would meet up with her to bring her water and sustenance. So we would meet up and I'll never forget it because every time I met up with my wife during the marathon, she had a different emotion. First time I met up with my wife during the marathon, she's like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. The next time I met up with my wife, she was like, I hate you, you're lazy, why aren't you out here? But I promise God, I'll never forget when my wife finished the New York City Marathon in Central Park in Manhattan. I'm telling you, 1,000 people and every runner, when they finish, they put like this blanket over the runners. And so I'm on my phone, I'm trying to find my wife, and we finally had to line up these streets, and I'm from a distance, I see her, and I hang up my phone, and I run as fast as I can towards her. She didn't run towards me, you know, she's done running for the day. And so I get to her, and I pick her up, and I start swaying her, and I hold her, I'm crying, she's crying. I almost said, "We did it!" but I didn't say that. I was like, "You did it!" but I promise to God, I had this moment when I'm holding my wife and swaying her, I had this thought, I had this feeling. I thought to myself, when I graduate to heaven, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. You fought the good fight and you finished the race." Come on, just tell the Lord today, "I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting on my marriage. I'm not quitting on my church. I'm not quitting on my future. I'm going to keep going. When the going gets tough, so will I." It's too early to quit. It's too early to quit. And it's never too late to start. The devil wants to convince you you miss your chance. You miss your opportunity. This opportunity only comes once in a lifetime. Those are Eminem lyrics. He wants to say to you, "You lost it. That window closed." No. My Bible says, because of the steadfast love of the Lord, we're not consumed in his wrath. His mercies are new every single morning. You woke up to possibility today. You woke up to potential today. You woke up to a new beginning today. You woke up to brand new mercy. It's never too late to start. Start writing that book right now. Start building that blog right now. Start that business right now. It's never too late to start. You ought to start giving your life. Start building the church. Start sowing your future. Start investing in yourself. It's too early to quit. It's way too early to quit. It's not too late to start. What is it this weekend that God's been calling you? Start it. Start having that conversation. Start forgiving that person that hurt you. Start being more kind. Kindness will take you so far. Start. It's never too late to start. It's only too early to quit. Breakthrough's just around the corner. Keep marching. Keep going. Keep showing up. God will blow you away. He's never looking for capability. He's always looking for availability. Amen to that? Here's the last thing I want to encourage you with. Write down number 4 today. He's calling out greatness. He always does this every time. Whenever Jesus shows up, he's calling out greatness. Some of us today think that if God showed up here at the service, started walking through the aisles, made his way to you in front of you and God in front of you, he would look at you with disappointment. How could you? How dare you? Why? And he would deal with the issue in your life. What a bad picture of an awesome Jesus. Because I'll tell you today, if Jesus showed up in this service and walked through the aisles and made his way in front of you, he would stand in front of you with a big old smile and say, "Whoa! Do you realize the plan we have for you? Do you realize you're on heaven's radar? We've been talking about you. We've been planning for you. Come follow me. I got something for you. We've been thinking about you. We've been planning for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that are in store for those who love him and are called according to his purposes." Come. He looks at some tax collectors and Jesus goes, "Come." He looks at some fishermen and he just says, come. "Come on, guys, I got a plan for you. We got a gospel to preach. We got a movement to build." He's calling out greatness. This is what he does every time. Whenever Jesus shows up, he takes the God thing that's in your life and he calls it out. There's an anointing on you. There's future on you. There's calling on you. He calls out. You have been made by greatness for greatness. And if you don't believe me, I'm gonna close here with this story. This is John the Baptist and John... John chapter 1, let me just end with this story. This is the last thing I'll say today. John chapter 1, John the Baptist is a man. He's in the wilderness and he's crying out and he only has one message. And his message repeatedly is, guys, get ready. Jesus is about to show up. Guys, get ready. Jesus is coming. Make a clear path, make a landing zone. Jesus is about to show up. He keeps preaching it, keeps preaching it. For years, he's preaching this message. And then all of a sudden, one day, out of the blue, he sees Jesus for the first time. And the first time he sees Jesus, he goes, OMG. It's the guy. It's the dude. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There's a guy standing there that hears this. Look on the screens. In fact, why don't we stand to our feet? I want to read these last scriptures as we stand to our feet. Just listen to this. Now that is an awesome sound. That's like a war cry right there. Tell the devil, no, not today. John chapter 1, verse 40 on the screen. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. I just love Jesus. Because the first time he sees Simon, he doesn't see him and go, welcome to church. We're so glad you came. Here's a chocolate. Give us 3 months. First time he sees Simon, he says, you are Simon, but I'm telling you, we're going to call you Peter because there's a call of God on your life and you're going to be a church builder. He calls out the great thing that's on him and in him. Come on, somebody, thank God today that he's calling out the greatness that's on your life. Forget the past. Let's move on to the future. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads. Let's pray today. Jesus, we thank you that you're so amazing. You are so kind and so good. So gracious. Lord, today we are asking, Lord, that we would just understand the future that is in store. Lord, we believe great things are ahead because you're a good, great God. We love you so much. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never said yes to the cross, Jesus loves you so much. He did not only make a plan for you, but he died for you. And if you say yes to him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the very first time and accept him as your Lord, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. When I hit three, lift up your hand and say, yep, I need that love. I need that acceptance. I need that forgiveness. One, you know exactly who you are today. Two, nobody else looking around. Come on, if that's you right now. Three, just lift up your hand. Shoot it up high. Just say, yep, I'm making that decision today. Hands just shot up all over this room. People saying yes, 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 all over. And the balcony, if that's you, lift your hand. Fantastic. So awesome. Come on, church, let's say this prayer together. Repeat this after me. Say, Father God, thank you today for the wonderful gift of your one and only Son. Today I say, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. I belong to him. He belongs to me. I say this out loud. Jesus is Lord. Come on, let's put our hands together for every person that made that decision today. Come on, let's really make some noise for everybody that raised their hand and said yes to Jesus. So awesome. So fantastic. If you raise your hand, we're clapping not out of religious duty. We're celebrating the reality that with the angels in heaven, right now everybody's going crazy because we believe right now you have salvation. Come on, let's clap one more time. Give it up for every person that raised their hand, receive Jesus in their heart right now. So awesome, so powerful. If you raise your hand and said that prayer, just a minute, someone from the team is gonna come up, explain a little bit more about that decision. But I wanna give one more prayer, one more response. If you're here today, you know, you say, you know what? I don't care what my past looks like. I need some faith today to move forward. And I don't know what the future is. There's no promise there, but whatever it is, I just gotta find out. I got to see what God has for my family. I got to see what God has for my life. If you got faith to move forward, lift your hand right now. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to forget my past. My past, it is what it is. I'm moving into the future that you've got in store for me. Come on, just stretch it up like you got faith. Lock out your elbow. Lift up your hand. Almost like you're waving to heaven. Like, God, here I am. See me. Jesus, we thank you today that you see our hands and you see our hearts. And Lord, there's a church in Miami that is dead set, not on the past and its glory, but on the future that is stored up for us. Lord, we thank you that right now, faith is rising. Faith is building. Lord, today we put our trust and our confidence in the name above all names, in Jesus' name. And we all said together, come on, let's clap and thank Jesus.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at VUChurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church. My heart.